Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful you can join us here again this Tuesday night, May 22nd, 2018, for yet another episode. Talk Straight is a national dialogue sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute. And we endeavor to share our research model seminar and lecture series addressing specifically at-risk males across urban America. Actually, all of America, I should say. But we are specifically targeting certain cities in urban, that make up urban America. So nonetheless, we invite you to share your question, your comments. The number to call us here is 657-383-0944. Again, that number is 657-383-0944. Now, during our last episode, the conversation was informative. It was thought-provoking as well as explosive in many ways. And it was so well that we decided, let's do it again tonight. Let's do it again. You know, generally, if you've been following us, you know that we have a basic format and where we have host-generated topics as well as open monologue and question and answers. But, again, we're going to open the floor to you, our listening audience. If you listen on Facebook or you're following us live on Facebook, you can call that number to join in the conversation directly, or you can share your question or comment via the Facebook app, the live feed, and we'll be happy to share that in our conversation tonight. And again, I'm going to endeavor to do not so much talking. We normally have a monologue where we give contextual information for our conversation for the night. We strive to make sure it's research-based and factual. However, again, because we are intentionally trying to have a dialogue with you, our listening audience, and to focus on you directly, then we are opening ourselves up to the floor here. And, okay, with that, I'm going to, again, the number is 657-383-0944. And I'm just going to start us off here with the OJs. I see we have callers in queue. We're coming right to you, coming right to you. We'll start up with the OJs. They make the statement that don't call me your brother unless you really mean it. Hopefully we can kick off some good conversation This is Talk Straight, your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. And again, it's open mic night 2 this May 22nd, 2018.
When I was hanging out down on the main drag, yeah, I went in to get me a small teeny weeny toddy for the evening. My tide is gone. I opened up the door, yeah, and there was my glove compartment all torn out on my dashboard. And here you come, here you come, here you come again.
Yeah.
And talking about my man.
Oh man, you listen to Talk Straight. We about to get right into it. These brothers call themselves the OJs, the person of Eddie LeVert, Walter Williams, William Power, Bobby Messi, and Bill Isley. They said it. Running around throwing your fist up, talking about, what's up, brother? I mean, don't call me brother unless you really mean it. How about that, Outcast?
Hell yeah, that's right.
I got that pretty lady out of Illinois, 8112. Greetings and welcome to Talk Straight again, 8112.
Thank you guys so much. You're about to tickle me.
Well, can I call it? I have to call you sister. I mean, is there any truth to that, though, guys? People are always running around flogging like they really care, and they don't mean nothing.
Don't mean a dog thing. If you don't mean it and say it like you mean it and feel it from your heart, it don't exist in my world.
Don't even say it, right?
Don't even say it.
Absolutely. Okay. Listen, it's open mic. Tell me what's on your mind.
You talking to me, sir? My brother.
Absolutely, I'm talking to you. You can kick us off tonight. Tell me what's on your heart. Let's talk about it.
What's on my heart?
Yes, ma'am.
You had to have a private session for that conversation, but...
Well,
I'm just grateful. I'm really, truly, I'm just playing, but I'm grateful to be here and be able to have someone genuinely, I said, call me. And I can say brother, and he can call me sister, and we both mean. That feels wonderful. There's so many times people can't say that.
Yes, that's true. That's so true. We got 3072 joining us tonight, 8112. What about that?
Hey.
Welcome, 3072.
Hi, guys. How is everyone?
Hey, baby.
They've been working you hard, ain't they?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate Brother Outcast. His work schedule was pretty busy too. Appreciate you guys tuning in with us. Listen, it's open mic night, 3072. The last couple of shows, we've just been open the floor to you guys. I know you all have important things that are of interest to you, and we're just open the floor to anything. We're gonna, you know, have some semblance of control, but for the most part, you all lead the discussion tonight. Anything on your mind in particular?
I'll kick it off.
Okay, go ahead.
I respect highly what you stated about last Thursday night's conversation when intelligent men and also intelligent female, we all do it in a conversation that is rarely touched, really explored, educational-wise and things of that nature. You know, we went through anthropology and things of that nature.
Okay.
I appreciate you. I appreciate Reverend Waller and, you know, Professor Robinson, you know, for bringing it to the table. And also 3112, 3172 has been out. But thing is you, when we're in school, you know, they give you, especially junior high school, elementary, whatever, you only get a small portion of learning. And most of the learning is totally wrong. But I do understand that it's his story. Yeah. Just like Christopher Columbus, you know, they were saying that Queen wasn't and gave him the money, but actually she didn't. That was funded by someone else. You know, and I just appreciate everybody. You know, I don't know everything. Okay. I learn from each and every one of you, you know, in a conversation. And,
we all do. I've certainly been learning myself. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate, again, you, Reverend Waller, and everyone that indulged in the program.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we appreciate that. Ladies, y'all have anything that's on you? I know y'all got something to talk about. Y'all always throwing blows and then bagging up on us.
Where's Ricky, Mr. Waller?
He right here. He listening at you.
Hey, there goes my friend. Hey.
Say hello to him, Pastor Waller.
I'm good now, and now I can find something to talk about.
Okay, all right. Hey, he's laying back in the cut, 3072.
Look, he riding with the tinted windows.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now, you know, we got a lot going on across the nation. Had another shooting in Texas. And it's sad, you know what I mean? Question. I'm supposed to be quiet. Go ahead, 8112. You had something to say. I'm sorry.
Not much. I mean, it touched my heart so that I am so grateful all my kids are grown now. I mean, I know our parents probably used to say that as we were growing up too, but it kind of shook my tree. I'm stuttering still because this was a 17-year-old boy. Obviously didn't have a clue. He had enough clue to go kill all these other kids and the teachers. For what reason is what they still trying to find out. Now they want him pleading insane. Hell, he was insane before they let him get them guns.
Right.
Well,
and it's a horrible thing. It's sad because sometimes people do things unconsciously because they are sick, and sometimes cannot help being sick, and that's the truth.
Okay.
And,
well,
when you take another life, that's a horse of another different colors. I think his parents should have seen some kind of little red flags, maybe.
Okay.
If he lived.
Okay. Yeah. All right. What were you gonna say, 3072?
I was just gonna piggyback off of what she was saying, but bringing great notice to what the last part of what she was saying about the parents. I mean, for 17 years, if he was sick, somebody should have seen some signs before that shooting. I mean, I don't know. I mean, but I find it very hard to believe that, you know, everybody in these cases that day they just snap. They go and they shoot up all these places or people. There had to be some signs there. And again, we have to, and it's, I say we as parents or outsiders even looking in, knowing or noticing some questionable things, but we fail to, you know, say some or bring it to somebody else's attention even.
Sure. You know, we're in a time now where everybody's, you know, say they have a right, you know what I mean, to express themselves and to be who they want to be, and you should respect that. I agree with that to some extent, but I think what y'all are saying, there has to be some sort of standard for appropriateness or normal behavior.
Right.
Look like you're erasing that line, though. I'm sorry, what did you say?
I was just going to say, and I agree with you, right to a certain extent. You have a total right when you live on a planet by yourself. When you live on a planet where other people have to live and exist just like you, there should be boundaries that is not crossed as far as having rights. So, right, maybe your right you wanted to express was killing birds or skinning cats or kidnapping people. That's not a right then. That's not a right. That's wrong.
Well,
and if somebody know that you're doing this, it needs to be brought to attention.
Yes.
Maybe that would save some lives.
Right. That's interesting you say that, 37, too, because one of the reasons animal cruelty is illegal in the U.S. is because all the research has taught us that the precursor to killing a human being is to hurt and harm and maim an animal. You know, just vicious. I don't necessarily mean for hunting and that sort of thing. You can argue that about hunting, too.
I feel that way. Mm-hmm.
But, that's one of the reasons. Anytime you're just maiming and, destroying life without cause, that's an indication that you are likely or prone, is believed, to killing human beings. So.
And that was just something to just name something. But I'm just saying, I mean, there's got to be, like, warning signs, obvious ones, that, like you said, people trying to be respectful of privacy and all that. Well, hell, excuse my language. You never mind your privacy. When I have to worry about coming out of my house, or I can't go to the grocery store because your crazy child that you've been knew was crazy is on the loose again. Never mind your privacy. I'm going to do like these Caucasian people are doing when they call the police on a female in a dorm that she's paying to go to school at but fell asleep studying. I'm going to exercise my right, and I'm going to call the police too. Yeah, he's out there in all black walking around with a duffel bag, and it looks like there may be a gun under his coat. I don't know, officer. I'm afraid. Can you come check it out?
But now, do we unfairly characterize people, though? I mean,
no, that's not unfair. That is not unfair. And going based on what's happened,
hey, let me go to the Grand Wizard, the Outcast. What about it,
Wherever Brother Robert.
Is that unfair? Insane Outcast, too. I mean, just label everybody because they got a dark coat on. Never mind, it's 100 degrees in the summertime.
Isn't that the going thing? That's what's being done.
Well,
anybody with dreads walking around.
Wow.
Well, I mean, that's a mental issue there. If you're walking around in a 100-degree rug with a raincoat on or overcoat on, I think that's a mental issue. Yeah, you know, call the police and try to get us some help.
Come on,
but see, people do categorize people in the wrong way. Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you okay. Go ahead.
It's just like the young man that the guy called himself making a citizen arrest and killed this young black boy thinking what he thought, that this young man didn't belong in that neighborhood and he was from that neighborhood because he lived there with him. Shot him to death because of what he assumed. Who the heck was he to go shoot anybody? Call the police if you feel like that, although they'll kill you too. So.
Trayvon Martin,
down in Sanford, Florida.
I don't want to try to put the wrong message out saying that, you know, we should just be overly harassing people. But like me, so my son is in a very nice neighborhood. If I was to come through here late one night with my music up, and I do that from time to time, gospel, whatever I'm feeling like, and somebody pull me over, hang on. And that's my right to do that. That is my right. I pay my car note. I put the gas in there. It's insured. That's my right to do that.
Okay.
Now, however, if there's a noise ordinance, I'm sorry, and I'm pulled over and I'm asked to identify myself, where am I going? I will do that. I will do that. But at that point, after I've done that, then I should be left alone. And whoever called, that's fine. Okay.
Hello.
But on the other hand, nobody's calling on obvious, ridiculous things that's causing people to lose their lives at proportionate numbers, not just by these kids shooting schools up, but even by some of the police officers out here. That's just sick in the head. That's just sick and should have never been given that authority in the first place.
Okay.
That's
Pastor
all I'm
Wall, you have any comment there, sir?
Yeah, I really appreciate what everybody's saying here, and I think that the point is very well made that she's presented. Now, I'm not aware of the shooting. You know, I don't watch a lot of news, and there's a lot of bad news that go on. However,
shot a lot of people, or just one person, or what?
Okay, speak on your phone a little bit there, Pastor.
Yeah, what was it about the shooting? I mean, was it one person
or a lot of people
got shot?
It was in Texas.
Okay,
tell them what it was.
9 kids and 2 teachers.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And so
9 kids and 2 teachers. And then we're still wondering, you know, why this type of thing happening. And what I really actually appreciate about the conversation is that there's got to be a solution. But what is it? How do you step into it? Now,
that's true.
The thing about a person having a right to do things, as she was speaking about in her car. Yeah, that's right. When she's pulled over, she explained to them, and if they do whatever they're going to do, they should leave her alone and she's going about her business. However, when a person is doing something out of hatred, or if this person is doing something because you have a right, I don't believe that if a person is insane, should be walking around, you know, like that. But you got people that's walking around with a coat on in the hot sun that may not nothing be wrong with him. You know, they just want to put on a coat for whatever the purpose
that's
is, but you never know. However, I'm walking around right now with a T-shirt on because I think so much of my community. The T-shirt says North, South, East, and West. I don't know nothing about no shootings. And then it comes down and says, hold your fire.
Mm-hmm.
We're not enemies. Now, what does that mean? Is he shooting people because he feel like they're an enemy to him? Or is he just shooting people at random because he want to do something? He looked at TV and saw something on there. He said, well, I'm going to do it. Is he copying someone that you never know why he's doing it? Or have he been like that for a long time and the parents didn't check him because he's not presenting anything to them to make them think that I'm getting ready to go out here and shoot a lot of people, even though something may be wrong with him, but not to the extent that they think he's going to go and shoot up everybody.
I'm sorry. And so the point that I'm trying to make is, so the times and the date have changed now to where we need to carefully screen and police everything. Nothing should be taken lightly. And guess what? That's going to teach people from making statements about, I'm going to come back and spray your house. Mean that. But whoever, whatever color, I don't care what position you hold, you make a threat verbally, we need to act on it. And that's going
to
help teach people to stop playing so darn much. The racist people that keep calling the police on these black people, knowingly they not doing anything wrong, they should be fined $1,000. Every time I get called out here, and I respond, and it's found to be nothing, you owe the state or the city $1,000.
Okay. Well, hold on 1 second. I think Outkast will recognize these guys. This thing about people being looking strange and unusual or really wanting to go off, and I would argue that no other subgroup in America has been through more emotionally psychological trauma than African Americans. You know, slavery is a good example, but that's not an excuse. All right, well, Outkast, tell me if you know who these guys are. They're gonna they kind of summarize the fact that, as you were saying, 3072. This thing is not new. It's been around a while. It ain't just popped out the sky. Hold on, let me get past this this little commercial here, and then we'll get right to it. But it's nothing new about this, you know. It's been going on a while, and we need to be aware that here we go. Here you go, Outkast.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Mm.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Oh, to the edge.
Broken glass everywhere. People on the fence, you know, they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise. Got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back. Junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. So push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep going under.
Now, I would say to those young people, and oftentimes these rural areas, that you're not the first person who felt like you were caged. What about that, Outkast?
Environment.
Wow.
This is what I say. If it all depends on the environment that you're in, that brings on the type of attitude that you have. If you're in a positive environment, you'll have a positive attitude. If you're in a negative environment, you'll have a negative attitude. I mean, even that song, someone you know that's, you know, have a little anger in them and things of that nature, going back to whether it be just a little streak of racism and things of that nature, you know, they're going to gravitate toward that song, and that song is going to further push them on to make them land themselves in the penitentiary. Reverend Waller made a good point. But, you know, concerning a guy out on the streets in an overcoat in a 100-degree weather, Pastor Waller said, well, nothing wrong with him, but I resort back to what I think it was 3172 said. Well, it looked like he got a gun under that coat. Well, thing is this, if the police arrive, police will ask a question, why are you out here in this 100-degree weather in an overcoat?
Right.
Is that illegal? Right.
I'm not fired up, but he just made a very good point. Back to me and my rights to my car. That man have every right to be musty and funky under there and stank.
What?
But when the police arrive, and he asks you, sir, why are you wearing that, and he tell them that I suffer from really low blood and I'm freezing. Okay. Sir, can you open that coat up so we can make sure that there's nothing there that's going to harm anybody? He do that?
Right.
That's fine. Go on about your merry way.
Hold on,
my
that's
point
interesting.
Is, check into it.
Right. Okay. That's an interesting thing. Let me come back to you. I'm going to come back with the Fifth Amendment and the Fourth Amendment. And hold that thought, though. Go ahead, 8112.
I was just going to say that Ludacris was stating that if you come from a bad environment, it goes back to what I used to tell you guys. Some people say you do as you know.
Mm-hmm.
I raised my children in the environment that we were in. And
right.
They got for Jesus. Most of them all of them really came out pretty good.
Okay.
So
okay.
Not always the environment, because you can be in a bad situation and the people around you loves you.
I
and
see.
Try to do the if you're going straight, they try to lead you back the right way some. And if some don't, then that's fine. But the parental guidance holds a lot of weight, as our parents taught us to do, and it stays with us for how long? Life.
I see.
Most of us. These days, kids' parents are not, some of them are not equipped, because some of them, whether they have or have not been raised like that, didn't grab a hold of the things that their teachings was supposed to instill within them.
Okay. I think you raise a very good point.
So that guy that's walking around in that coat, even though we may assume he may have a gun, it could be an umbrella because he might be scared it's going to rain while the sun shines. And it sure has happened. I've seen it myself.
Okay, well, hold on one second. Sometimes he may just want to talk to the moon. You don't know. But listen, the Fourth Amendment is said to protect every citizen against illegal search and seizure. In other words, unless the police got probable cause, and not just because 3072 said, he got a long coat on, he looked like he got a gun on there. They have to have probable cause to search you and to stop
you. Well, then, now.
Hold on one second.
And that's true.
Hold. I'm going to come right to you, Thursday. I know you're going to get me. But then, yeah, 3072, the Fifth Amendment says, the Fifth Amendment says, I don't have to testify against myself. I don't tell you nothing. I don't have to say nothing to you. I can be quiet.
Right. Right.
What about that, 3072?
What about that? So that's what those amendments say, and that's right. And so if we're going to go by the law and we're going to follow that, let's make sure we do it fairly across the board for everyone, not just for people that have dreadlocks. And he just looked like he was going to take my purse before I got to my car. But I call you about this man that do have a rifle up under there, and you're not even going to question him. You're going to remember the Fourth and the Fifth Amendment then, aren't you? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if we're going to do that, make sure that's being done for everybody, then what I could do is take business into my own hands when I see him like that and he gets too close to me and I exercise the right to bear arms. Right.
Now you go to the Second Amendment.
Act crazy if you want to. Act crazy. Okay.
Okay. Well, I should have went to the Second Man 81. Wait a minute.
Okay. Move wrong if you want to. And I'm not bothering you, but move wrong over this way.
Okay. So you're saying run up, you get done up. That's what you're saying. Okay.
All I'm saying is move wrong.
Okay.
Right. I got you.
That's what we'll be saying,
sir. Yes, sir. I mean, she's standing, man. I mean, that's a right to stand because that's suspicious. You know, when someone is suspicious, and then you're supposed to serve and protect, and then someone makes that call. Because you can have a person that's dressed up like that, that's innocent, but you can have that being able to look as a person that's serving and to protect. You say, okay, well, I'm going to get ready to analyze this person before I even approach him. Is it just a person standing on the street watching cars go by with a coat on and just very, very strange looking versus looking like he's up to something? And that's what
isn't
you got to determine.
Isn't that stereotype, Wallace?
That's what she's saying about the dreadlocks, because this person is not doing nothing. But then you got one that's out here looking suspicious, but he don't have the dreadlocks, but he's actually the one that has the gun, but you're not going to check him. And what she's saying, that God is no respected person. If you're going to do it across the line. And that's the thing that
Pastor 8112 had a question for you.
No, I don't have a question. I have a comment. I agree with that 100%. But it sounds double standard on one end. It works in some cases and not some others. But it's just like the little rich white boy walking down the street in the black, in the hood, as they call it. Excuse me, it could be anywhere out of urban areas. But he walking around with his gold chain, and he rapping, and he got his headphones on, and somebody said, you in the wrong place.
Okay.
Said, no, I ain't in the wrong place. That works both ways.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point. You, so,
well, and
go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. 37-2.
And
no,
he might
ahead,
have all the money. His parents could be filthy rich. If you notice, most of these kids out here killing kids is not from the urban area. They are not African American kids.
Hmm.
Most of these kids out here come from very, very prestigious, wealthy families. And their parents
now
don't
you,
pay them no attention. They leave it to the babysitter or the nanny, as they call them, quote unquote.
You're talking about those that are in the recent school shootings, right?
A whole lot of them.
Is that what you're talking about?
And out of the news doing all their devil, man. And ain't nobody paying them any. You don't hear too much about Chinese. And Mexican crazy as other folks. And you don't
well,
hear
now,
no
they
whole
don't,
lot about them.
Well, now, let's be fair, 8112.
Yes,
you, very rarely do you see Asians engage in that type of violent confrontation in America anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Because of what?
I mean, let's be fair about it now.
I know.
And
do you know why? Do you know why? I could tell you why.
Go ahead and share with us. Tell us.
Because they parents even came from China or places, Singapore, places like that. They go by my model. They go by my model. We have rules here that are set in place. And when you break them, you're subjected to face whatever the consequence that you chose to do behind that. So
now,
they
wait a minute now.
We have a right to chop your hand off if you did.
Wait a minute, 81 spell.
We may have a right to stone you to death. Know, whatever. They right. So they learned that there. They do. Go research it. Research it.
372.
Their crime rate is nothing like here. Nothing like
372. If we were to go into Inglewood Community in Chicago, Treme in New Orleans, and let's say East Cleveland, or we were to go into North Indianapolis, you know what's going on over there, right? Are you telling me that we should take a hardened position? And these are predominantly African-American neighborhoods or communities where there's high rates of black crime. You saying we should take that position? Well, we're going to use strict punishment to keep you straight. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's, and I'm saying that for any community that's having a problem, for any white, black, Englewood, Brentwood, Oakleaf, wherever, for any. If you start imposing the same thing on people that they impose on others, then they'll probably stop. And that example will be made and duly noted across the board.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, now,
if you do it
hold
like
on
that.
One second. There's a concept that I believe in. It's called restorative justice. Where is there room for restorative justice if you start being so hard on them? I'm just curious. Just a
question. That is restoring them. That's after I chop your hand and your foot off, you don't have to spend no time.
You
ain't got to go to jail. You ain't got to go to jail. You paid your No, for real. All is forgiven unless you do something else.
Come
then
on,
you lose your other leg and your other hand.
Come on, 37. Pastor Waller. Pastor Waller.
You know she's hot. Yes, sir. She's hot, brother.
I know you don't agree with that 81-12. 81-12, I know you ain't going along with that.
I'm over here laughing like a mug. I ain't going to lie.
No, seriously, that is fair. That's fair. He should, that person,
you know,
seriously, if that were to happen, they should be able to work. They should be able to vote. They should be able to do everything, whatever.
Hold on,
let me say that.
Both you guys are talking at the same time. Hold on one second. go ahead. Finish your thought at 37-2, then 81-12 was responding. Finish your thought at 31-7.
Okay, I apologize.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Let her go ahead.
No, baby, go ahead. I'm cool.
Oh, okay. No, I was just saying, and you brought up God. I think God is fair and just, even. He make us pay for the things we do wrong. We don't get off. We have to suffer the consequences in life. Seriously, that is what is wrong. How would I know how it feels to lose somebody if I'm the only one, if I'm the person taking people's lives?
Okay.
Somebody should impose something on me that's going to get my attention, just like, right.
All right. Your
that
point is duly noted. Your point is duly noted. Go ahead, 81-12. What were you going to say?
And, baby girl, I know you guys keep saying, she keep going back to her son. I do this for a reason. And you know why? Because I had to look at it like this because I am afraid of police now. And I always taught my children to respect them as their peers somewhat.
Yeah.
But my
point
to you is this. God didn't say for us to judge anyone, I don't believe. I think he would take matters into his own hands and he shall not make any mistakes. And if we start doing that on our own and hardening our heart like that is what I had to figure out with myself is what I'm speaking upon.
Sure.
Is that if I decided all police was evil and bad, I ain't never seen so many police in my life since that happened.
Okay.
My thing is I put it in my father's hand and my grandfather's and he's dealing with me through different situations about how to deal with that situation.
Yeah.
Sometimes I go backwards and I get frustrated and upset because nothing happened to them guys. The mayor resigned.
Mm-hmm.
So it happened with it that may help someone else. So
right.
I know there was a reason for my angriness within my heart, but then I had to ask myself, coming from who I came from, should I hate them? And I decided they're not worth me sending my soul to hell.
Okay.
And that's
We've got Professor Robinson joining us. Professor,
can I just make my point?
That's
sure. One second, 37, jump. I'm right back to you. Professor, welcome to Talk Straight. We're doing open mic.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening, sir.
Mic night again. Oh.
Yes, okay, go ahead, 37-2, and then we'll go to Professor. Go ahead, 37-2.
Okay, well, I was just going to say, and I understand, I forgot her. I know her by name. But anyway, I understand what she was saying in her situation. And I wasn't saying for us to make this into, like, the Wild Wild West thing, but I'm talking about laws to be put in place, laws to be put in place, and for us to be governed by them. And right, if the right laws are put in place, I think we can see some improvement as far as crime and all that goes.
Okay. Go ahead, Professor. Question, comment?
Oh, I was going to ask if there were examples of better laws that could be put on the books that would help to decrease crime. I'm just asking for some examples.
Great question. Okay. Anybody want to take a stab at that?
Yes. So some example laws to be put on the books. If you rob someone, you should be made to do some, and I'm not just saying any community service, the person that you robbed, you should have to repay that debt back to them, and not just for that money. And then after that, you need to be made to serve in the community for whatever length of time, and then after you've done, repay that debt. Now, I do agree that, right, like you were saying, restorative and rehabilitation and all that, that's when that should come in. Your crime is forgiven.
Okay.
But that's only
well, now, you know, we
so
have
many
laws like that already.
Well,
we have
how?
Diversion programs and
okay.
Community
who do they work for?
Huh?
But who do they work for?
Well,
who benefits
the
most
from what I'm saying is, 37-2, this is an active part of the law already. Now, it may be a question of how well is it enforced, or that maybe that's really what you're the substance
no,
of what
it's
you're
not.
Thinking
no,
of.
No, that's not. That's not.
Okay. So what new law
what
then?
No, and I'm not talking about a new law. You just spoke about the ones that are in place. The community service and all that. Right.
Yeah.
And now I hate to keep making this a black and white issue. However, that's where we are. That's where we are. So a lot of times Caucasians get those privileges and benefits of doing those things. They spend very little to no time in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Their slate is wiped clean, enabling them to go out, get student loans, go to school, and actually change their lives.
Mm-hmm.
While the brothers or the sisters don't get all that. We just get hit with hard times. Now, granted, we committed a crime. You got to do. But I'm saying they benefit more from that law, just like them amendments you were talking about, than we do.
So you're saying there is an unfair execution of
there,
the law?
Yes, that is what I'm saying.
All right, I got you. Professor, did she answer your question?
It touched on, but I guess my question is, if it's being applied unfairly, what do we do? Because the laws are there. There are quite a few laws on the book. If they're being applied unfairly, what do we do?
Okay.
Then that's the age-old question.
And you reinforce those people that is unfairly doing what they're supposed to not be, what they're doing. It's out there.
And that's causing people to lash out. It's causing people to lash out.
You encourage the ones that are disencouraged if they don't have the money. That's when it's time for the ones that do have the money to step in place,
get out of there.
I believe.
Okay.
And because those people like underdogs, and they look for the people that's with the power, the finances, to help them out of a bad situation. Shed some light on their darkness. And how often do that happen? It happened recently here in the state of Illinois, and I will say this again.
Come out.
A man was trapped
for
most of his life. His young life, all the way up until last week, they released this guy for a murder. Kept saying, I did not do this.
Okay.
And the man that did do it confessed to doing it.
They still
killed this guy. And I'm sure you guys, if you watch any part of the news, I don't even like the news because it's bad news to me, but it's informative.
Okay.
They realized this guy actually... Now, what he's supposed to do with his life, this whole world unchanged as he knew it when he went in jail.
Okay. You make a good point.
Now,
the law,
they should take care of him. They should take
care
of him. Since you robbed him of his life, then you need to give it back to him.
They can never replace his life from being a child.
Well, financially speaking,
money don't take care of that, baby. Money don't do that for a person.
Well, it would help him to be able to come out of jail and not have to feel like he got to rob somebody to eat.
Okay.
That
when he went in there,
he heard
boom boxes. When he came out, they got CDs. They got
They can't help that. Can't change that.
So, okay, ladies. All right, hold on 1 second. You guys are making a great point. But the thing is, now I hear this all the time, that they are targeting us and we're not the only ones committing crimes. Stop right there.
Right.
Put a pin right there. Part of the statement is we're not the only ones committing crimes.
What
I want to deal with, Pastor Waller, is the part where you recognize that you're committing a crime. And I want to know if you don't commit a crime, if you have to worry about that.
Right.
What about that, Pastor?
If you don't commit a crime, you don't have to worry about it. Don't commit a crime, you don't have to worry about it. That's what you're saying, right? I would like to believe that that's appropriate to say. If you hadn't committed a crime, you don't have to worry about anything jumping off like that. But there are sometimes, Pastor, even when you haven't committed a crime, man, I tell you, and if they mistake you for somebody,
they want to check you,
and then you're probably were thinking, well, I haven't done nothing, so I don't want you not going to check me, and you have that right.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, it goes a little bit further, and then it something comes from that. So mistaken identity or whatever it may be, but most of the time it's not like that. And so that's why I stopped doing what I used to do, I tell you that.
So they
came to me talking about I'm selling drugs. I said, no, you got the wrong one right here. But if they say, well, I punched your record, and your record popped up, and
nope.
You mean because of my record popped up, you go tell me I'm doing something that I'm not doing? Now, what do I do now?
How
do I approach that?
That's
how do I deal with that?
That's
man
a good point.
They call stereotyping. You know?
Right.
Mm. It's tough,
that's
man.
A great point, Pastor.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor,
yeah,
let me ask Outcast. Pastor, let me stay right there, Pastor. I'm going with Outcast.
I used to work as a
correction officer for about 2 years, and everybody in the pen said they wasn't guilty, so they didn't do it. I was the only person who voluntarily came in there. What about that, Arrowhead?
But this is how it goes.
Thank you. This is how it goes.
Everybody, not everybody, the majority of the people are going to say that they are not guilty.
Yeah, but this is it.
Hold on.
Tell me. Good, how are you?
I hope.
We're getting some feedback from somebody else's conversation. Go ahead. I'm sorry, 1098.
Okay. You know, I'm sitting, at least lying, and I'm listening. And what I'm hearing basically is that only black people are in prison. Only black people are wrongly convicted. White people have been wrongly convicted. They came out and they got compensated for their time, you know, because they were wrong. See, now,
okay.
Racial issue, racial barrier. Now, what I'm listening to is a racial barrier. If you go inside the prison system, you're going to see more than black men in there. You can go to certain prisons, and listen now, you can go to certain prisons, and the white boys or the whites outnumber the blacks. You have a lot of whites in prison, a lot of whites. Now, what I'm hearing was not trying to make it out of a racial issue, but it is a racial issue from what I'm hearing. You know, what I'm hearing is they don't wrongly convict white people and send them to prison. They only wrongly convict black people and send them to prison. Again, if you don't do the crime, you don't have to do the time. You know? Going back to these hands cutting off and all this stuff there, pack your bags and move over to Iraq somewhere where they doing that at. You know, I'm glad they don't do that here in the United States.
If you rob somebody, you need to go to the penitentiary
and do your time.
Okay.
You know, this is the way I see that. If you do the crime, you do the time. Now,
all right,
again, this is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing a racial issue.
It's not a racial issue.
You got now, when it comes to the Asians, do you know how many Asians you have in prison? I'm going to tell you how many. As I know, you have one, and he's right here in Nashville, over there in River Bend, sitting on death row. And he came out of Memphis when it comes to the Asians, you know?
Okay.
You know, he did a JD killing back in the 80s, I think.
Right. Hold on, Outkast. Hey, Outkast, 8112.
How you doing? How you doing,
Go ahead, 8112.
Hey, I just want to say, I never said it's a racial issue. I said that it is what it is. They accused different people. Okay, more African-American guys than Caucasian than whoever. But I've never been in prison, don't want to go. I don't think no man should be locked up unless he deserves it.
And I agree 100%. So if that need be the case, some black folk and white folk need to get together and stand up against that.
I also agree that it is what it is. But they also been accusing a whole lot of people, black, white, green, purple, yellow, if you want to call them that color, of something that they did not do. They told them they didn't do it, and I know they can't just give a, I didn't do that. I know they got a lot of people did a whole lot of things they said they didn't do. But they got a whole lot of them. Spent their life in prison, like Life. Remember Life on TV? That's true in real life. A whole lot of people spent their whole life in prison for something they did not do.
They got a guy right here in Tennessee that had locked up almost about 30-some years, and they let him out. They're going to give him $1 million because he didn't do it. And all those years, even though he was black, he was saying that he didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? They get paid for that, you know?
Right.
Hey, you can't get paid enough to give you your childhood back, your teenage days. Your college days. Can't nobody give you enough money. All they can give you some money is to die with.
You're never too old to go to school.
Can't nobody give you enough money to bring your child back.
Okay. Hold on, 8112. You're speaking of an intrinsic or internal value. You're saying you can never get that back.
You can't. How you going to get that back?
Hold on.
No, you're right.
Hold on one second.
Sorry, I get emotional. I apologize. I ain't gonna say
that. That's all right. Hey, that's okay. I'm glad we're having this dialogue. Because what happens, guys, there are a lot of people in our society who justify wrong because they say there are documented cases where people have been done wrong. But just because those people have done wrong, that doesn't make it right for you to do wrong.
No,
and say,
it
I should take them the same grace. So
I
your point is well taken, 8112, your point is well taken that, no, if you lock me up right now unjustly and I'm off the streets or locked up for years, you're right. I won't ever be able to get those years back. However, it's about moving on forward beyond that. Would you say no? Yes?
I would say it's easier said than done, sir.
I understand that. Yes, sure. It's
not.
I'm sure it's not easy. But now you know the number is minuscule.
If you have not walked a mile in my shoes, how can my shoes fit your feet?
Watch out, girl. Watch
out.
If
you not have... through the life that some of these people live through as well as myself.
I understand.
How can you compare your life to mine? All you can say is that was scientifically, and we've done the study. I'm saying that. Now, we call this, I call it a debate, and everybody
yes,
had
ma'am.
The right to feel how they feel.
Sure.
And I don't
sure.
feel is that scientifically speaking. I speak from my heart, though, honestly.
I get you.
Let me state this. All the guys that I've listened to that have been wrongly convicted, you know what they're happy about? They're happy about being finally being free. They're not talking about the years that they spent behind bars for something they didn't do. They are just happy to be free. Now, talking about your shoes, now you spoke of your shoes. Walk in their shoes. If you was in their shoes, you wouldn't be thinking about all the years you lost. You would be loving and cherishing your freedom. Even the one that go to prison and get out. It's all about being free. Free.
I have to go back to this again, sir.
Let them finish what he's saying.
They're locked up in a jail cell within their soul.
Okay. Hold on now. I appreciate you. Let him finish what he's saying, and then you respond to him, okay? What were you saying at 1098? Finish that thought, please.
But see, but this is what it's about. Now, I respect her thought, her opinion.
Sure, sure.
But these guys that did all this time, you know, they were wrongly convicted. When they're out and they get out, a lot of them are humble. And the only thing that they are thinking about is enjoying the freedom and the life that they have left. It's not about the lost young hood and things of that nature. It's all about freedom. Even the slaves, when they took them out of those chains, when they went all the way up out of them, it was about them being free, being able to do what they wanted to do and live like everyone else was living. And I hold on that. Now, you ain't walking their shoes, did you?
Hold on this. You know, they can't live and do what they want to do because they're a convicted felon, even though they were set free. Yet, so they still shall live the life as a penitentiary person because that's what they grew up to know, even though they were innocent, is my point. Everybody can't handle that.
So 8112, and we have other callers. I don't want to overlook everybody that's online.
No, you don't. I'm done talking.
That's okay, babe. That's all right. So I was just going to say that your point is well taken, that it's a hurtful thing to have lost time in your life and so forth and so on. And even for those who are convicted with felons, after you've been clean and done right in society and reentered, after 7 years, you can go and have your record expunged. There's a process by which you can do that. There are some redemptions.
Can I respond
to
Alcaz? Yeah, go ahead, 3072. Or not Alcaz. Is it 1098, brother?
Yeah, that's my main man.
Yeah, okay. So, look, while you talking about, what do you say, take that back to Saudi Arabia, Iraq? And that's exactly why. You don't want that to come here. You don't want that to come here. I bet you if they came here, a lot of this mess would stop. That's my point.
Hey, Alcaz. Hey, we better not give her
America,
no black rope.
Yeah, wait, I'm sorry.
Alcaz, we better not give her a black rope and a mallet filled with.
No, I'm not going to give her no black rope pass on that. Now, here's a question that I'm going to pose to her. Let me pose this question to you, 72. Let me pose this question to you. You strongly believe that this is what that type of activity should take place here in the United States, right? You actually believe that?
I would be on board, depending on how it was done. Yeah, possibly I would.
And guess what? And then guess what?
Yeah.
You would end up without a hand and a foot. Even though
you didn't commit
the crime, somebody could point a finger at you and say, yeah, she did it, and then they cut your hand and your foot off.
Well, be careful now.
Okay. Just be careful. A whole lot of us would have hands and feet around here.
You need
that old hand and that rack over there. Hold that
I give you that
I need
my hand and foot to work.
All right, then, Steve. Be careful now. Listen, laws are in place. Laws are in place. Look here, if you rob something or whatever, you go on to penitentiary and do your time.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm not finna give you no community service for that. That's what's
right,
wrong
with
that. They're giving out too much of that community service.
Hold on 1 second. Y'all too hot for me. Let me recognize the people on Miss Annette Jones, thank you for joining us. Brother Jamal Thomas, thanks for watching us here. We appreciate you. It looks like Brother Shelton, Stephen Shelton, Smitty McClain, Brother Bohannon Smith is perhaps tuning in with us. Chief Shelton, looked like Clark Prince, Frankie King. Y'all feel free to give us a call here, 657-383-0944. That's, again, 657-383-0944. We'll be happy to get your questions coming. We got about another 28 minutes here before we get through. But thank you, guys. Pastor Waller, are you on the street now with some folks?
I'm still here.
Okay, I hear some people in your background. Somebody want to turn in?
Yeah.
Want to tune in to our conversation?
No. I'm still here,
okay,
though. I had to step out.
I know where you are.
I'm right here
that.
Right now, though, you know. And I'm thinking about the situation as a whole, you know, that's going on. And I remember it gave me a chance to recall, if you don't mind me saying this.
Sure,
I was thinking about, you know, how when people get locked up, they're locked up anybody out here as a saint. But there are times when a person's innocent, you know, such as, and I was using that example for myself when I, my brother, you know, him and I, we look alike. And I don't know who it was that been in that store and stole them cigarettes, but I know it wasn't other me. And I got arrested for it, took me downtown. Guess what they did? Took me before the judge, and the man told the judge that he came in, I seen him, and that man know he's lying on me. This man, he even know he's lying on me, but he didn't care about him lying on me. He still told the judge, time out, took a recess, and went down there and hit that fingerprint thing. And guess what? They discovered that it wasn't under me. You think they told me they were sorry? They called the next case up. Yeah, they didn't tell me they were sorry. They didn't tell nothing about whether they had it wrong or not. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you tell me that that was respect.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Professor Robinson. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, finish, Pastor.
Yeah, I would have thought they might have said, well, we're sorry. We had you wrong and everything. We thought that was you. Okay, they didn't say none of that, but. And that to me right there spoke volumes to me. You know what I mean? I would at least thought they might have said, well, we're sorry, because you went down there and took the fingerprints and you noticed that it wasn't under me. No, they didn't. They didn't say it. So that's why I say they can get you wrong. No matter what the crime was, they was wrong.
They was wrong.
Yes, sir.
Yes, go ahead.
All right. What I'm hearing tonight from our conversation is that perhaps there is a reason for us to address how to stay above the suspicion of the law or criminality. You think that would be a fair topic to really look at?
Well, I think that should be something that we all strive for, is to stay out of the system.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I didn't understand
that. But what I'm hearing, though, is from much of our conversation, is there seems to be a general theme that you can't avoid getting caught up in the criminal justice system. maybe I'm getting that wrong. Maybe I'm reading 8112 and 3072 and Pastor Rollo wrong, that you just can't avoid getting caught up in the criminal justice. Am I hearing you all wrong, guys?
Everybody, because I'm not caught up in the criminal
justice. Go ahead, 8112. You got the floor.
I am not caught up in the criminal justice.
We're not talking about you,
like,
baby.
I'm
speaking in general now.
In general, everyone is not caught up in the general, whatever you just said. But
in the criminal justice.
The criminal justice. Everyone is not caught up in that. But when you have things going on around you that concerns the younger people, which is what the professor and everyone that's supposed to be speaking on, it's not so much about us these days as it is all these kids falling dead at the hands of each other and others, as well as people of authority. So what do you do about that? You take that part to Congress and find out what to do, because I'm not into politics like that. I'm just on the radio station speaking how I feel.
Okay. Yeah,
I was just going to say.
Now, so 8112, really what we're talking about is conduct or social conduct in society. And when social behaviors cross a legal barrier or line, that's when they find themselves a threat of punishment in the criminal justice system. But
okay,
I'm hearing...
People.
Huh?
Some people.
Anybody. The only time you have to worry about going to jail is when you commit a crime.
No, that's not so. We were just speaking upon this. This guy didn't commit no crime. He went to jail for most of his life.
Where was
So
where was he when he went to jail?
He wasn't
where did they find him?
They let him go a year later.
Pastor.
Go ahead, Professor. Go ahead.
It sounds like there's a really strong belief that the majority of black folks who are in prison are there unjustly. I understand every once in a while we hear about the person who's on death row and they get off, and I understand that. It is tragic, but
right,
it's a small number of people. It's a small number of people, and
right.
It is a tragic
mm-hmm.
event. But when you look at the
mm-hmm.
big picture, if we have, in this country, we have over 2 million people incarcerated.
Okay.
And so, and let's say half are black, and it's about that number. It's about that number. I don't know the exact number. And so are we saying that the vast majority of these black men and women are innocent? Is
no,
that
sir.
What we're saying?
No, sir. I would not be my words misconstrued to make me sound like I'm saying something that I'm not.
Nope,
sure
nope.
I'm not
right.
saying
Hold
that.
Hold on, 8112.
I did not say that. You would not hear me
Stop
say that.
Okay.
There's a whole lot of black people in jail. They must need to be there because they are ministers to society a whole lot, as well as white and
Amen.
Other black.
Okay.
That is
All
not
right.
what I said by no means.
All right. Oh, hey, 8112, let him finish. He was just trying to have a dialogue. Hold on. He wasn't finished with his thought. He was trying to have a dialogue with you. Go ahead,
I'm sorry, Professor. I apologize.
That's all right. He still loves you. Go ahead, Professor.
And I guess I'm going to go back to what I heard earlier. But should we focus more on the small segment of people that are unjustly incarcerated, or focus on the behaviors of the majority to get them to change their behaviors to prevent incarceration? Should that be the focus of, you know, where we put our attention in our conversations? We spent a lot of time talking about, you know, the one or two people, and they were there for 30 years, but in that time, we probably had another 20 to 50 that went to jail, at least.
Right.
And so do we focus on the larger number, or do we focus on the few?
Larger number.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, 8112.
I just said the larger number. I agree with
the larger number.
Yes.
Okay.
And so let's shape the conversation towards that. So back to Pastor Doc, when you said, what are those behaviors? How do we help to influence young people, old people, to change those behaviors?
Correct. Correct.
You asked me how to do it.
That's what the problem is. That's the problem.
Okay.
People are acting in ways that cause them to go to jail.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, that's, I don't know how else to say that.
Well,
you
and
don't act
so
that way.
I would say,
go ahead.
To 1098, then here's the thing, brother. So third time's a charm. You act that way to get yourself incarcerated, you're getting your hand cut off.
If I can jump in real quickly,
wait, one second.
We have the death penalty, people.
Hold on 1 second. Professor was talking. Go ahead, Professor.
Remember, we have the death penalty in this country, and people still kill people.
Right.
That's true.
But, look, wait a minute. The death penalty, they don't die. They sit on in jail for what, 40 years? By that time, you're ready to just off yourself. I mean,
well,
come on.
Okay.
You go to Texas, you're going to die.
Can I take this? Can I take this?
Florida.
Who that, 72? 72, listen to this right here.
37.
No, the third time is not a charm. If you do the same crime three times, three strikes you out. That's life.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
It's not cut your hands off. You commit the same crime three times, they got a three strike law in Tennessee.
Well, you're
not coming back out. Now, again,
I want to see them commit another crime without no hands.
Well, see, the thing is this. Then you will be footless and handless now. A concerning law that you were talking about. Now, I mentioned an Asian guy. One Asian guy in the state of Tennessee on death row. His name just came back to me, Heck Van Train.
Yeah.
He's been on death row ever since the early 80s. You know they do have appeals. They can appeal until their appeals run out, you know.
Yeah.
Again, what if you were sitting on death row for a crime that you didn't commit, and they set you to die last month, and you didn't commit the crime, and they killed you, and you hadn't been in prison no more than a year.
So let me, are you asking me? Can I talk?
Oh, yeah. I'm posing that question to you.
Okay. Is it my turn now to say something?
All right, go ahead.
So, again, I really was posing a joke, picking at you with that, what I just said, but to that question that you just asked me, no, for a sensitive issue or a case like that, no, I'm not wishing any innocent person harm like that. But again, I do feel like the law should be toughened up. And as far as the professor was talking about, that small amount, that small number of poor people that go through those kind of severe injustices of losing years of their life and they've done nothing wrong, I'm really sorry for that. But for those that are guilty, that do go to jail, if they black their hands out, go back in there, get out again, rob or rape somebody, you know, that's, come on.
Stay in there for life. Now, I agree with that.
Come on.
But they do have a three-strike law here in Tennessee.
Come on.
They do have that. But at the end of the day, a lot of people get slapped on the hand. You know, I don't agree with these in here going been in the city jail 100 times. You shouldn't have been there the tenth time. Should have been sitting there busting on the penitentiary. But I
work correctly.
Pardon me?
All right.
I'm sorry.
All right, listen. We got about 15 minutes. I hate that time is getting away. Pastor Wallace playing with the clock again. But in this next 15 minutes, not again, Pastor. In this next 15 minutes, can we think about identify some things that we can address the behaviors that cause one to go to jail? And how can we get the most of those who are guilty, who are in fact guilty of something, and encourage those who have not committed crimes to avoid those behaviors. Can we do that in the next maybe 10 minutes or so?
Yeah.
Anybody got any ideas about that?
The ones that I'm good to go do it again. The ones that ain't good to go try to get the hell out and stay out.
Well,
like
I would
oh,
just, I would maybe, I mean, and that's the whole purpose, I think it's safe to say, of the show is to try to find ways to,
absolutely,
you know, help at-risk people, not absolutely just the youth, but people in general. So, right, I mean, we need to put more programs in place for geared toward just that even.
Interesting.
I mean, first identify them first, and put the, you know, just try to do what we can.
Huh. Okay. Pastor, what about that? I know you out there right now, Pastor. You're on the top
yeah,
right now.
I think it's a great thing. You know, I think it's a great thing, you know, to put programs in places, you know, that would cause people to understand that there is a way to live life and enjoy life and without a lot of the
yes
things that's going on.
Yes.
So you have to find
yes
an order of
yes
how to go about doing that. You have to get around the people who know how to exercise that. And see, that's the thing,
yes,
that's the problem that I've learned here lately. Sometimes, you know, looking back, as I often do, I have to, because it's a footstool of mine, you know, to, you know, he said, sit right here and job, make your enemy your footstool. See, once my life
mm-hmm
now in the past became a footstool of mine, then I understand
mm-hmm
why now a lot of people won't come into the new way because they're so used to the old way.
Yeah.
And until you present something new, they will keep doing
mm-hmm
the old, which is what they're supposed to do. But what's wrong
mm-hmm
with bringing something new to the table? For instance,
mm-hmm,
what is a substitute for using drugs? Not using drugs. I mean, that's
exactly
a substitute.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do it? You get to somebody who know how to do it. You know what I mean? And you don't get
or
to somebody
find another
who
stimulation.
Speculated.
Find another stimulation.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Hold
and
on
help the other, because everybody's not on drugs. You see what I'm saying? So you find something about another stimulation. You know, you something similar to what I just said. You find out if a person,
mm-hmm,
for instance, may be a person that used to be a thief,
sure,
or used to be a prostitute,
mm-hmm,
or used to be just somebody
mm-hmm
who gossip all the time. You know,
mm-hmm,
that's room for that. They no longer gossip anymore. It's amazing the power of change. You know, you have to just present it. And a lot of people just not used to change. I got something to offer to the people right now. I'm in the midst of all the destruction with something to offer. Am I getting discouraged because they're not running to it right now? No. It makes me realize the power of the same old thing day in and day out. That one-track mind, it has power to it. How to break it? You stay the course. And that's
okay
what I do right now as I speak. I'm thinking, man, my goodness, how could it not come to something new when that should be old by now? But no, the power of darkness, man, has power. That's just, can't deny that.
Yes, yes, yes.
Running, ducking, dodging, hide from the police. I'm watching these guys do that. They're posted up, having fun, kicking, and all of a sudden I'm going to turn it back over to you after this here. Once they
mm-hmm
see the police cars come through, I see them start scattering. I said, my
mm-hmm
goodness, look at the power of what a police car can do. They may not even get
mm-hmm
might not even be getting ready to go over there where they are, but just the power of the approach and the look and the thought, they're getting ready to come over here. So they start to just separate. And I'm so glad that I have that reminder that I don't have to do that anymore, man. And so once
yes
you get to the newness
yes
of life
yes
and start realizing that this is okay to live that type of life, it's going to be tough until we take it to the streets. You know, and people are hurting out there constantly, and they need somebody to help them get free from it. So that's my take on that.
All right.
Not easy,
all
but
right
it can be done.
Sure. Tenene, you got an idea of something we can do to thwart some of this stuff, man? Keep people from
well,
getting caught up.
I agree with Reverend Waller, and I agree with Professor Robinson, and I agree with 72, you know. From my point of view, that's the answer on that. But at the end of the day, you know, regardless of how you talk to certain people, you know, if they're caught up out there in their antisocial behavior and they're enjoying it,
mm-hmm,
they're not going to stop. You're not going to
yeah
be able
right
to save everybody, but, you know, if you can save somebody, this is all that matters.
Right.
I look at things realistically, you know. I have not walked in your shoes, I haven't walked in any of y'all's shoes. I've only walked in my shoes. I know how my shoes feel. And right now, my shoes are feeling good. Perhaps better than you all, you know, because I'm free. You know, I learned how to stay free. Like Reverend Wallace said, learn to get off the drugs and stay off the drugs. And I hope.
All right.
Praise God for that.
Well,
okay.
Now,
well, I know you only got about 3 or 4 minutes left, so I'll wrap this up. I made the comment if you walk a mile in my shoes. I don't think
right.
your big feet can fit my little bitty shoe because they're bigger than you think. That's what I think. So when I said that, I meant what I said. I would not make a retraction for that because everybody has a journey in their life to walk.
Absolutely.
Everyone does. And it's
right.
up to you how you choose to take that journey and keep it moving or step back. And I choose
right.
to
right.
keep it moving.
Okay.
That's right.
Good point. Good point. Good point. You know, I'll tell you what I've heard from the last two episodes, and these have been open mics, right? And as we freely discussed, there's an issue about people outcast identifying themselves from a cultural or a heritage perspective. And now I'm hearing tonight that there is a need for particular certain population of folk to understand how to stay out of trouble, how to stay out of the hands of the law, irregardless
right.
of what everybody else is doing.
Right, but, you know, Reverend Docker, they know how to do that, but they refuse to do that. Going back to what 3172 is saying, you know, they know better, but they choose wrong. And each time they go in there, they expect someone to give them this and give them that and give them that, you know, and it wears out, you know. But the thing is this, the convict is smart, too. See, they set 3-strike law, so they might do a burglary this time. And then they might go do a shoplifting the next time. But
mm-hmm.
I agree with 3172. You know, it should be a stopping point in our hole because that got
right,
about 1 7 6 minutes.
Well, now we're not going to be cutting folk hands off. Now I'm going to just tell you that now. We don't do that here in America. 3172, we don't do that here in America.
Okay, all right. Okay.
You
want to
pull out the guillotine on us here. I mean, come on. No. But your point is well taken, though, 3072. I think that there is a need for us to police ourselves and our neighborhoods and to encourage young and old to be appropriate to meet the expectation of civic expectations. Now, here's what
and
I find
look,
out. Huh?
I was going to say, back to what agreeing with you, policing. Back in the day, we did, and things were better.
Sure, sure. Let me finish this thought. I was going to say to Professor Robinson, what I'm discovering, it's not just the young people who don't know what basic civic expectations are. But there are some chronologically grown, I mean, beyond 40, 50 years old, who don't understand it either. And they uphold their children and grandchildren inappropriate social interactions because they don't understand what's wrong with their behaviors in terms of meeting civic expectations of law. That's a problem. That's a problem. But there's hope for us. That's hope. Man, we're down to 6 minutes, Pastor. We're going to wind it down by giving everybody a final
call. Down to 6 minutes.
Man,
what
you going to do with them? But Thursday night, guess what? I'm gonna give you Thursday night how to live above the suspicion of the law. So you ain't gotta be looking over your shoulder. I know how to do that. I've done that.
You think I should change
that
bug
let's
in my car?
Wrap it up. Huh?
Change fix that light bulb
What'd you
in
say?
My car so they don't pull me over. Fix the light bulb in my car so I don't get pulled over.
Oh well okay.
yeah.
3072, let's go with you. Go ahead and give us a final thought before we get ready to get out of here.
No final. I enjoyed everybody's conversation and their piece that they added. And just love everybody. Be good.
Glad to have you back. Tell them don't work you so hard now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about 8112?
I'm grateful to be able to speak to you guys once again. I keep saying that because it's real. And everybody have a blessed evening. And I have no more to say about it. I've said all I need to say, and I will think about these.
Hey, 8112, you know, sometimes you get passionate, and that's the kind of passion we love on Talk Straight. So we
just
appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just hold my hand, that's all. We just have to try to keep it in bounds here. All right, we appreciate you. 1098, a final thought there, sir?
Oh, no, I've talked enough. I'll give it to Professor Robinson. I've talked enough.
All right, he passed the ball to you, Professor.
Well, I just want to put something out there to everyone. I want you to think about, and when would you like to see improvement in our communities where, let's say, we double our, you know, if we have 10 million going to college, we just take that to 20 million. If we have 10 million graduating high school, we take that. We improve our. When would you like to see that happen?
Great question. Great question. Okay. I would like to see it yesterday myself, but that's a great question.
It's not going to be yesterday. Can't be yesterday. Tell me.
We don't have time now. But you know what, Professor, I'm gonna have to get with you so you can do a whole show on that, man. That's a very important question to answer. Very important.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But Pastor Waller got us down to 3.5 minutes now. Pastor, go ahead and then take us out of here, man. We gotta go now.
Man, thank God for everybody who had a chance to share and comments and questions, and for those who were listening. We have to realize when it said, we know that all things work together for the good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. So if we ever allow God's guidance to help us in the time of need, I think now those thoughts would be more appropriate to be able to put full trust in it and say, God, we need you more now than we ever have, to follow your lead, guide us and direct our pathway. I believe it would be a lot better than being scattered, wondering which way should we go. Put him first, and everything else, according to Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to it. I just say trusting him is more appropriate.
Okay.
That's my take.
Wow. Well said.
Praise God.
Hey, with that, we'll be back Thursday night at 7 o'clock p.m. And I'm going to bring the topic, how to stay above suspicion of the law. I hope somebody can stay out of trouble with that. And we got to get a professor to pose that question. And let's get an answer. That's an important question to get an answer to. So you've been listening to Talk Straight. It's been open mic again. Reverend Doctor, your host. And we appreciate everybody that's joined us tonight, 1098, our good friend out of Peoria, Illinois, 8112, 3072, and Professor Robinson. And as always, our co-host, Pastor Waller, for everything you do there. We'll be back Thursday night, another episode of Talk Straight. Thank you again for joining us. Those of you on Facebook, we will be in touch with you. All righty. With that being said, we're out of here.
Praise God.
Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's BFCINSTITUTE.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times and locations for our traveling educational lecture series, and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the homepage.